RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Now we're going to talk about Auckland flood modelling. And joining me is Ken Turner, who's an Auckland City Councillor. He was elected as one of two councillors representing the Waitakere Ward in 2022. He's a fourth-generation West Aucklander growing up in Titirangi. And he's worked as a motor mechanic since 1975. And we're going to have a chat about Auckland Council's response to the 2023 flooding, and we'll go through a case study that's there. Ken, thanks for coming on RCR. Nice to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
A fourth generation Westie.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
Oh, I feel old.
Yeah. Westies have a certain, I lived in Auckland for 5 years, came up from Wellington, and I heard Westies mentioned quite a bit. You know, we didn't have Westies in Wellington. So you must have done something.
It's a do-it-yourselfer sort of area. It's where there's a lot of tradies like myself. Yeah. And also our roots go back a long way. I've been in business 40 years in a suburban sort of workshop, and I'm still shocked even now, the connections between my customers that I learn every day or every week, and they've been around for, I'm a newbie, some of them six and seven generations.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, yeah, folk have been there for a long time and probably a long time before that as well. All right.
And they've been observing nature for a long time too.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about here, and no Chicken Little stuff here. Okay. So the response to the 2023 flooding, in broad terms, what has the response been?
A knee-jerk reaction to the fact that our stormwater system wasn't up to the task. It is certainly arguable that we had a very, very large amount of rain, and that it would have overwhelmed any stormwater system. But in the words of quite a generous person out here whose factory flooded, Ken, it was a flood. At the end of the day, I wouldn't be so angry if the drains had been cleaned.
So now we're sort of nudging on it, right?
Yep.
So Ian Wishart has shown over more than 100 years, there have been all sorts of flooding events, some actually really bad historically. So just another flood, but the storm drains were in bad condition.
Well, if there's a climate change element, and this is my observation as a fourth generation Westie, and I farm out on the coast at Huia, we had a significantly dry period. For 8 years, it was almost like Australian type weather. You could book yourself a barbecue with the mates. The weather we've experienced since the floods in 23 to now is more like what I've experienced for the rest of my life. You know, my granddad used to say, "Don't worry, boy, it will rain one day, it'll all come at once."
Yeah.
It's no coincidence that during that 8 years of drier than normal weather for West Auckland anyway, Auckland Council's stormwater department was renamed Healthy Waters. Oh. And our management, our maintenance activity was renamed renamed as outcomes based, which actually means they only responded to calls for service to blockages and breakdowns and things. So you talk to anybody out this way and they'll tell you, and like I just drove the road just a little while ago, I haven't seen a road sweeper out here for months.
That's a curious renaming, isn't it? Outcomes.
Yeah,
it suggests there might be something, but it doesn't tell you what or kind of why or anything like works does or something.
Yeah, the stormwater department, you know what they are.
Yeah,
the healthy waters, and I've challenged this before, we're more worried about guppies swimming upstream than our stormwater getting away from our properties downstream, because we have to remember that in Auckland, your river's no longer a a wilderness area. It's good to have quality water. It's good to have, not to have sediments and things all flowing downstream, and we do our best. But they are fundamentally, well, not fundamentally, they just are the basis of our stormwater system. Everything yep. goes into the creeks and major drains. And there's two types of those systems. One that we can concentrate on the quality of water, and others that we absolutely have to concentrate on the quantity of water.
Yeah, and that's occasional, beyond normal limits, right? That's quite an occasional thing. Okay, so is the
it doesn't mean that you don't, you know. I'm jumping way forward on this, but something I made a comment on to council just yesterday in a meeting. If people out here were told to computer model that, so we're in a bush living suburb here in Titirangi. If people in Titirangi were told to model fire risk due to temperature increase by climate change by 2090, yeah. are they also told to consider all fire engines not working because they're broken down in the fire stations due to lack of maintenance?
Now we're getting to the case study. So let's get on to that because it's interesting. So Auckland Council's response to the 2023 flooding, is it about flood mitigation? Is it about future weather resilience? Is it about changing climate? And is it about ultimately, I don't like to say this, managed retreat? Because you can make a really good argument to clear people out ultimately, right?
Well, what I've been asking as I'm sort of, you know, I've only been a councillor for 18 months. I was on the local board for 5 years. And, you're learning all the time because this is, it's long-term rhetoric that's built up over time. But what I'm saying is, what are we retreating from? Are we retreating from Mother Nature, or are we retreating from hard work and cost? And where are we going to? Where are we going to retreat to? This Auckland is a third of New Zealand's population on an isthmus. You know, when the first people turned up here, they saw Rangitoto pop up out of the sea in a raging hellfire. They didn't all retreat to somewhere else.
You're like,
they stayed here. They fought for the place because of the advantages. So we're making space for water. We're treating from the coast. Where are we going?
Right. Okay. So there's no room to retreat as such. Okay. Can we just go through this now? The summary of Etihin Fekeli's resource consent application, maybe the main points, and how that shows where the collective we, but where you are, where you're at.
Okay, so we've had all these affected homes, which is terrible and devastating for the people involved, and we've brought out a bunch of them, and we're going to buy up more. So, you know, that's in progress. But then the next move has been to model potential flooding. We've got all these hazard maps coming, and at the moment the first one is the flooding map, and we're modelling all the floodplains and all the areas that are at high risk of flood. And these are covering thousands and thousands of more homes, which didn't flood in the last flood.
Okay, well they've been doing the whole country.
Well, they are, but I'm only worried about Auckland because I'm only a councillor.
No, but this is big.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something we really, it's a challenge that we really have to come to terms with. So in this case, this nice lady bought this property to build on, and it never flooded in 2023. She goes to get a building permit, and she's told, as part of your permit, you must computer model your flooding risk out to 2090, and council will make the criteria that you have to put into your model. So council also runs its own model to double check your model. This is all at her cost. that not the council model, but her model.
Already it's a gravy train, Ken.
Yeah, well, so they give her the criteria, but they keep changing the goalposts.
Right. So
if you take, if you look at it, at her property in cross section, she's in a hollow, not a gully, but she's in a long established suburb. This is not out somewhere new or in the country. She's in an established suburb, Glen Eden. She's got found herself a vacant section, in behind all the other houses. And it's in a hollow, and the road when this place was developed, you know, several decades ago, was leveled out to a degree. So the road from her property, you drive up the drive and it rises to the road. And under that rise, there's a culvert, a big culvert. This is common around the place. People have developed the properties, made the road straighter, done a bit of ground movement and put a culvert in to manage the water. She has been told she has to model that culvert as 100% blocked.
So 100%. Okay.
So there is a guide in Auckland Council which says that all drains under 600 millimetres diameter have to be calculated or considered as 100% blocked, and between that and 1 metre, 50% blocked, and over that you can calculate them at only 10% blocked. So I challenged council and I said, look, this is proof that you're not doing your maintenance, you admit you're not doing your maintenance, and you don't intend to. Because actually this drain was serviced just before the 23 flood, and her place never flooded. And I was told, no, that's not the case. We have evidence, and I know this, you know, this is true, of sparpool lids and trampolines washing in the floodwater downstream and going over the end of a drain, and it's all 100% blocked. And I said, yes, but the probability of that is hundreds and hundreds times less than the probability of the storm we're trying to model.
Well, so, that doesn't make sense. That actually doesn't make sense.
No, it does. So then what happened is this lady designed a house. She made it two stories. She lifted it on blocks. So now it's sitting above the flood level. And then she's told, well, how are you going to get in and out? Oh, so here's the steps we've designed. No, they're steps. You need a ramp. Okay, here's a ramp. No, your ramp doesn't meet our ramp gradients.
Oh, man.
So they changed the ramp gradients. That almost touches the neighbor's property, correct? You'll need permission from the neighbors to exit and enter the ramp in an emergency.
So, sorry, wait on, my blood's boiling. She owns this. This is her property, right?
Yes, correct.
How come they think they own it?
Well, they don't think they own it, but
they think they can push her around, tell her what to do.
Well, you've got to. This is all about mitigating the risk of significant threat to life, and so let me finish. Yeah,
but they're
the story.
They're not her mummy and daddy.
So let me finish the story.
Okay.
So they said you need permission from the owners to exit your ramp onto their property in emergency. So the neighbours were good enough to give it to her in writing.
Well,
and
who wouldn't?
Then council said, no, we need it as an encumbrance on their property. So they said, oh, no, thank you.
Can that affect the value?
So then her consultant, who's been helping her, he's so angry, he's now working pro bono. So now her consultant goes back to the unitary plan and says, look, there's an area in the unitary plan where you can build a refuge in the house. So they lifted the house on the plans on another two block layers and brought it up. Now it's 1.2 metres above any potential flood.
Right.
Because it's actually above the road level. That's the only thing that's inhibiting water if the drain's blocked. So he says here is a refuge inside the house. So they went through a load of drama to prove that, and then the council said, oh, yeah, okay, good, good. So now you've got to prove that you've got enough food to last you while you're in the house. And the answer, and it's all in those documents I sent you, and the answer was it only models as flooding for 2 hours, 15 minutes. We've got enough food.
Oh, yeah, we can handle that.
So then they said, okay, now you've got to affix to the side of the house in permanent fixing a datum, and some wording which tells the occupants when the water gets to the datum, you have to get out. But if it goes over the datum, you have to stay in. So, okay, we've proven that. And then they said, but you haven't proved that subsequent owners between now and 2090 will abide by what we've agreed to.
Oh, man.
So now this person has been told, you need to go to public notification to have a resource consent commissioner decide this case. So this person has incurred about $5,000 in council costs, but another $61,000 in all the extra external consultants helping her through this issue. And then she's now been given invoices or bills for $20,000 deposit to go to public notification, $9,000 worth of extra internal work. You know, this is...
I'd tell them, go stick it, Ken. I'm going to pay that.
Well, it wasn't this lady who got me into this thing. It was her real estate agent.
Oh,
so this is where it kicks on, because he's a really good, well-known old guy guy who's been in the area for a long time, not as old as me. And he sold her the place in good faith. Then he hears her problems in trying to build on it. He goes and helps her. And then he realizes, good heavens, I can't even sell this section for her if she decides she doesn't want this section.
Yeah,
because I know that it may not be able to be built on under these circumstances.
So under good conscience, he can't do it.
Well, he could get sued. Next person could say, you sold me property knowing these issues.
There's that, yeah.
And it even gets worse because...
Oh, how can it? Okay.
Well, because they have said that they've now said, since the paperwork I gave you just in the last month, the council have now said, we're not prepared to accept the refuge, but you can get out onto the road. So, but their floodplain mapping shows that to that road or any roading to her, the only way out, which is one way to the northwest and the other way to the southeast, is going to have more water flowing over that in a couple of places than where she's at. So she will be marooned on a dry space on the road outside her house with the rain and the hail and the flying debris and it's just irrational crap.
I don't know how that keeps on rolling along. Maybe you can tell me, but fundamentally, the modeling, it's easy to be caught up in the shiny things like, wow, computer modeling. Turns out a lot of people we've spoken to, it's not so easy modeling climate because it's one of the most complicated things on the planet. So there's that. So this is all based on that modeling fundamentally, is it?
It's based on a predetermination, in my opinion.
Supported, though, by...
In my opinion.
Yeah. I was just going to say, supported by that sort of technocratic approach. We've got the modeling. I mean, they're even testing models against their own models. They're obsessed with modeling, obviously. Now, if the jury's out on modeling, none of this can apply, can it?
Well, hang on. The jury's not necessarily out on modeling. What's happened to this lady is... She was told to model to, and I've got the paperwork here, she was told to model to NIWA's recommendations.
Yeah, but NIWA, mate. NIWA.
Yeah,
NIWA. Ask Ian Wishart about NIWA.
Okay. Well, but that's not, I'm not blaming them. She was told to model to their recommendations of 2.1 degrees climate change. And when that showed that her house design would not flood, council changed it to 3.8 degrees.
Yeah, so they massage, they keep pushing it up, worst case scenario, to stay ahead.
And that's not the model's fault.
That's exploiting modeling.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant.
To a predetermined outcome.
Yeah.
And so let's go to the next issue. What's happening? Take, for instance, the block drains. That's all in one of the codes of practice that council has. The thing I've seen... So central government reacts to these issues like severe weather and says, okay, council, we're going to put a statutory requirement on you to plan for this stuff. So, okay. So then council's response is to build guiding documents. And when I'm in a debate and I argue about these things, they say, look, don't worry, councillor. This is just a guide. So that sounds okay.
Yeah.
But the problem is then that there's no specification. And so therefore it brings in subjective. And yeah. And so the council staff don't actually have statutory specification to rely on as their backing for their decision. And the people at the other end, the consumer like Etihun, she can't go to that legislation and say, but this says.
Okay.
So we end up in this terrible situation of, so in this paperwork I gave you, I can't find the paper because we're at 14,000 words, so I can't grab it straight away.
Yeah, it's a biggie, yep.
But in one place there it says, the council considers what you've offered is not enough.
Wow.
What does that mean? So this is an example that I'm using as a mechanic in a lot of my conversations. Yeah. I've been a mechanic. I still have a warrant of fitness authority of my own for 40 years. Eight years or a decade ago, our warrant of fitness manual, which was full of specification and light on philosophy, became full of philosophy and light on specification. But most importantly, there was a clause went into it. An inspector must fail a car which he considers unsafe, and the reason he considers unsafe does not need to be in this manual. That's the sort of problems we're up against. So all of a sudden, the manual means nothing. You've got no protection. The customer's got nothing to work with. We are going in exactly the opposite direction as a society to where we say we want to head.
Who's responsible for that?
Oh, the Ministry of the Transport Department.
you get the feeling that maybe they don't know much about actual transport. It's more sort of woo-woo
because
philosophical.
Because we have lost.
Yep.
Because all the people who work there come from university and not from the workforce, not from trades. You know, I don't mean to be I stuck up for tradies all the time.
No, I think you're onto something there. So, okay, we've just heard that case, and that was mind-blowing. So what can you do now? What happens, just to end up the chat here because we're up against time, what happens now? Can I mean, it sounds like madness. Are you exposing this madness? There must be colleagues, councillors, even council employees and officers who can see this.
Yes, there is. But then, of course, the bureaucratic beast has a breath of its own. I'm calling it out because I risk making a fool of myself by shooting from the hip, Well, you know, it's pretty complicated stuff. Yesterday, I was with this lady's technical advisor, a guy. He's a qualified architect, he's a building practitioner, and he has a PhD in town planning, which he did on the Auckland Unitary Plan. So I was with him in an office in town, in a council office in town, with the chief of strategy and the CEO of the regulatory department. And, you know, there was agreement in that meeting that we have got a huge issue ahead of us, and that is, how do we balance this risk, this cost, and the ability to keep living normally in Auckland?
Yeah. Well said. Good way to end that, unless there's anything more you want to add, Ken.
No, that's fine, man.
I want to thank you for coming on, Ken Turner, Auckland City Councillor. That was quite a ride. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Bye.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.